People are becoming clouds nowadays. Each time John goes to kiss his wife, Eleanor simply laughs politely into the palm of her hand and immediately turns into a puff of soft white vapor. The vapor is quite odorless and can assume various sizes and shapes. It can still understand when it is being spoken to, the vapor. It can understand whenever John begins wordlessly crying. One time, while holding hands at the airport, John, without thinking, kissed Eleanor's soft cheek, and immediately she turned into a puff of charming whiteness that resembled a young pony leaping over a fence post. It seemed that the pony was neighing from the way its long neck was stretched and raised. Someone took a picture of the cloud, and it ended up on the second page of the next day's newspaper. Eleanor's parents called right away. Her father was quite unhappy, while her mother seemed quite pleased. As a cloud of vapor, Eleanor will remain transparent for upwards of an hour or more. Her appearance may vary greatly, depending on various strange, unknowable factors, such as the weather, what she has eaten that day, what she happens to be wearing, etc. When she is not a cloud of white smoke, Eleanor is a first-grade school teacher who is greatly loved by her first-grade school students as well as almost everybody else, including strangers who pass her on the street. She is that type of striking young woman. She has short, red hair, bright eyes like a pixie. She laughs the way you imagine a toy dog laughing. It should be noted that Eleanor did not ever turn into a cloud before the couple was married, and this new, strange, unplanned development has been a source of silent frustration for John. A partial list of the strange shapes Eleanor has taken as a cloud of vapor. A dove with enormous wings blowing a large trumpet. An intricate snowflake with castles for feet. A swan with an impossibly long neck sewing a blanket made out of clouds. A fairly accurate representation of an angel with rings of spoons for a halo. And a gigantic apple being swallowed by a ghostly white tiger. Eleanor claims turning into a cloud is totally beyond her control. John does not entirely believe this. Right before she transforms, she seems to be laughing, and her laughter is what leaves John unconvinced. But he refuses to argue about it. He loves her, and he thinks she loves him, and he believes it is just one of those things that will have to work itself out. Couples go through these kind of things, he thinks. John and Eleanor will sometimes try to be intimate. They will turn off the lights and put on some soft music. It will maybe be jazz, sometimes not. John will lay there in their white bed and close his eyes and wait for his wife to touch his body. And when she does, he will try to stop himself from running his fingers through her hair, and he will be able to resist her for a little while. But if she is wearing the pink and brown nightgown, he will eventually grope at her, and within moments, she will be drifting high above him. He will lay in bed then and stare up at her, a cloud of white happiness, condensing and expanding. He will reach his hands up to grab her, but he will be unable. He will try to breathe her in, to take her into his lungs, but his face will only turn red until finally he gives in and struggles to breathe. He will turn on his stomach and want to cry into the pillow, but he will not. He will be too embarrassed to cry. When he finally turns over, he will see Eleanor has become a snowy white falcon eating a peach or a series of lovely hills decorated with a miniature cloud town. He will wait, lying there in bed, and fumbling with her discarded nightgown until she drifts back down. John will call Eleanor from his office sometimes, where he works as an accounts representative for an aluminum company, and he will ask her, "Are you a cloud right now?" "No," she'll say, laughing. "Of course not, honey." "What about now?" "No." "What about now?" "Nope." Other times, John will go on business trips to sad places like St. Louis and Cleveland, and he will call Eleanor from his motel room and they will try and talk dirty like they are only dating and not even married. "I am climbing in the window and sneaking up on you," John will say. I am dressed like an old-time bandit with a striped shirt and a mask.
Okay, what am I doing? She will ask.
You are doing the dishes. You are wearing a white frilly apron like a maid.
How about I'm wearing the apron but I'm not a maid?
Okay, that's good. You're doing the dishes in your apron and I am sneaking behind you and touching your shoulders and arms and the back of your legs.
Then what? She will ask.
I don't know. I am carrying you off into my jet and we are flying away now. I have kidnapped you, maybe.
You're a bandit with your own airplane?
Yes, I'm independently wealthy. I chose a life of crime to relieve my boredom.
I see, she will laugh. What are you doing to me now?
I am...
Someone will be listening to the television too loudly in the motel room next to his, and John will whisper into the phone softly,
I am blindfolding you. I am blindfolding you and feeding you a lot of frosting and candy.
There will be a pause while John will be unsure if his wife was hung up or is still listening, and after some time, he will whisper, Are you a cloud now? And then there will be silence. There will be only the sound of air, which is no sound at all, which means, yes, she is a cloud now. And John will imagine kissing his wife right then, and he knows he will be unable to, so instead, he will kiss the phone, and it will be the closest he can get to the actual thing, the kissing of his wife. And then he will say goodnight and place the receiver back in the plastic cradle before closing his eyes and fighting to go to sleep. The couple finds a weather/relationship specialist in the phone book and makes an appointment to go see him. He has glassy blue eyes and a white beard and holds Eleanor's hand. He has many charts and maps and graphs marking cold and warm fronts overlaid with sketches from an anatomy book. He blows his nose with a white handkerchief and asks the couple very personal questions like, How frequently do you each masturbate? And, Do you still find your mate sexually attractive? John holds his hands over his eyes as he answers, feeling the heat of his embarrassment glowing along his eyelids. When, towards the end of the session, the specialist asks Eleanor what is her favorite shape when she is a cloud, Eleanor responds, I like just being a general kind of cloud the best. The old man nods and sets his pen down, as if he has found the answer to something. He asks for a check for $75 and asks the couple to come back next week. They do not. They go to the movies instead. During the film, John boldly reaches for Eleanor's bare leg, kissing her with a wild abandon, until suddenly she has an enormous black cloud, her gold earrings now strips of zigzag lightning. An usher sees the cloud and shines his flashlight at it, and John imagines the lightning flashing back as her smiling. At work, John finds himself searching the internet for clues, hints, suggestions, stories of similar weather-related problems happening to other normal red-blooded men, but no, there is nothing. There are only endless pictures of girls in wet t-shirt contests and sight after sight of affordable radar tracking devices which give three-dimensional depictions of storm clouds hovering above far-off cities. He comes across a photograph of a Gulf Stream hurricane tearing the roof of a small white house and thinks he recognizes Eleanor as one of the clouds drifting in the nearby gray sky. He stares at the photo for a long, long time. Often, when Eleanor is a cloud, she will make a strange sound like this. Ooh. Eleanor sometimes phones John at work. Sometimes they talk while John is busy sorting through his files. I want you to know it is okay to be angry with me. Eleanor says. I would be if it was the other way around.
I'm not angry with you, he replies, typing something boring.
I know, but sometimes I wish you were. Sometimes I wish you would shout at me and tell me you hated me or something. John holds the phone receiver against his chest. He feels like his heart has fallen down an elevator shaft. He feels as though he has fallen from a great height and is clutching at the air around him only to find the air is laughing spitefully. He stands up and watches the zipping rattling of the office around him, and then he begins to shout, "I can't fucking stand this anymore! I can't fucking stand this!" He holds the phone above his head and howls and then places the receiver against his ear and says, "Eleanor?" Breathing heavily. "Yes," she whispers. "I'm sorry. I'm sorry I yelled like that." "Do you feel any better?" she asks. "Yes," he says. "I guess I do." "Well then, good," she says. "I'll see you when you get home." "Okay," he says. On the bus ride home, John fantasizes about the lips of various nondescript strange women. He imagines what he would do with a pair of hot lips if given a chance. He stares across the aisle and a question forms from nothing in the vessel of his mind. Would he still love his wife so badly if she was not so impossible to claim? Would he still want her if he could have her whenever he wanted? He does not know. He isn't sure. He does not think so, suddenly. But maybe kissing her might be worth all the boredom in the world as well. When John arrives home from work, he finds Eleanor has become a large, sparkling building. She is as tall as a skyscraper and is made entirely out of a strange, silvery material like glass, both precious and transparent. The building is standing in the yard, rising high and mighty and reaching up into the infinity of the evening sky like a futuristic needle. John sets his briefcase down in size, then takes off his jacket, folding it over his arm. "Great," he says, looking up. "This is just great." He finds the facade to the great silver building, spins in through the revolving door, and takes an elevator up to the highest floor, and stands staring out at the stars, finding their glowing spots above the rest of the world. The horizon is so big and dark and sad that John can barely lift his head. In the silence of that very great height, he can hear the echo of his own breathing. "Eleanor?" he asks, and then leans against the silver railing. Somehow he knows his wife is listening. He unties his ties, taps on the railing once, and then says, "It looks like you had a bad day."